Oh, are you okay? Do you need bail money?
I can't get out of Kansas. They've trapped me here. They put me in the small, very cold, very air-conditioned basement.
Sounds pretty good. What microphone have you got
A little
there?
wireless mic, a little
Nice.
Hollyland.
Travel
I was
mic.
pretty happy with this. I use these around the shop for just normal, YouTube, Instagram stuff.
Yeah.
And it came in this case, but it still has these dongles that plug into like your phone. And somebody made a printable case that they can go on the side.
Cute.
And then it like attaches just to the original case. It's so perfect.
Yeah.
Like I usually just like tape the dongles to the outside because it's like silly. So perfect. Got here fine.
Nice. Lovely. What are you doing down there, up there, across there? Down there.
Down and right. Aaron has family here, so we're seeing family.
Cool.
Kind of the summer travel season, apparently. The one very notable thing of flying, it's like 3 hour trip. So 3 hour flight, 3 hour flight, and then a 1 hour flight. In the 3 hour flight, my son puked 18 eight times. Seems he has some kind of struggle with altitude, which he can't tell us, of course, but he's just we lost all of our clothing. It looked like we had been like in a pancake batter fight in our seat row. So
I'm
painful
sorry.
and
It's
sad.
funny and sad.
It
Poor kid.
is, yeah. And we call our pediatrician when we landed, and they're like, "Can we give him some like Dramamine, some like anti-nausea stuff for kids?" And they're like, "No, he's too young still." And we're like, "Oh no, just please, are you sure?" He's happy though. He's like not sick at all, when we're
Yeah,
landed,
good.
and doesn't
Right.
even in between throwing up one time to the next, he's like fine. Kids are crazy. I don't
Kids are
understand.
crazy. Yeah.
How are
They
you?
sure are crazy. Yeah, pretty good. I was up later than I wanted to be making book week costumes for my daughter. Sewing fairy wings. That was fun. Not enough
Sounds like
sleep.
entertaining.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, I'm pretty good. Had a decent week here. Kind of slow, stressful sales week for most of it, and then kind of came good and really just had one good day. One good day. Cap off the end of the week of like, cool, okay, we made it. We just scraped in. Let's do some
The good day.
fun stuff. Yeah. So
Yeah,
yeah.
on the Shopify graph of sales, mine is like beep, 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 beep. Those big
Yeah.
spikes suddenly on those days.
Yep. Yeah, as is. Yeah, people just stopped buying stuff this week. The last 2 weeks have been super slow. Shopify. Well, it feels that way anyway. And then like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no one was actioning any quotes.
Yeah.
And it was like, uh-oh. No money in the account. It's one of those weeks. Just, I don't know, just gets me down, man.
Oh,
It's stressful.
I know.
It's kind of, I was thinking about it, it's like, the pros and cons of the weekly profit first like distribution system. It's like in so many ways it works so well having that weekly frequency of like push, 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 push. But when when it's not working, it's such a grind, like having to do it every week.
It is. To see my fun setup. Yeah, no, I've been thinking about that a lot because we're in the process. In the next month-ish, we're going to be expanding into the next door shop as well.
What?
And
Just
did
drop
I say
that
this? I thought I
news
said
out of
this, right?
nowhere. Oh, you told me. I don't think you've spoken
Maybe
about
I
it
told
here.
you privately. We've been
I didn't know it
slowly
was going
progressing
ahead.
on. I didn't either, really, until this week.
Okay, nice.
Just, I've been ruminating on it and trying to figure out if it's, the right thing to do. And I keep coming back to this same situation. We've been in the shop since 2019, and I keep coming back to like, you always kind of have this hope of like have a next door neighbor or something. Like, oh, it'd be cool to have that space too. I have that thought all the time. It's
natural.
Be nice. We could use more space, and it's the same. It's a mirrored space, so it's the same thing on the other side of the wall. Same landlord, and I had kind of mentioned that to my landlord in the past. Like, hey, if they ever go, let me know first. And it came up like beginning of the year, and it's just been the slow progression of like terrified at the actual reality of like having to take on another lease, and kind of worked out a deal where it would ramp up instead of being a full-on lease, so that, you know, long term it's great for the landlord to like have just one tenant in this building. So I've been trying to reminisce or ruminate on how do I create more buffer, so that is it more tricky profit first accounts where I'm like giving myself more buffer in there, where I'm like, oh, here's an extra. Like GPT told me the other day, like a lot of business owners have 2 to 3 months of runway of cash for their things like lease and payroll. And I'm like, do they? I mean, I don't know many friends that have businesses like that, unless they're just like wildly profitable. But I don't have an answer yet. And hearing you say it made me think of the same thing. It's like, how do we create more buffer? And where does that come from? Like, how, is it just taking away from some account that...
Yeah, I mean, that's what we tried to do at the start of the year when we rejigged our numbers to try and pre-compensate for the slow January, you know, slow Christmas period, slow January. And we're like, cool, let's siphon off a little bit more each week and put it in a reserve account so that, you know, next year when we get to that period, we've just got a bit more buffer. So
and
basically,
you still have it set aside.
No, there's nothing in it.
Hasn't
worked.
Yeah, same.
Because there's been other things that have been more immediately pressing. So yeah, there's a bit of a glitch in the system and the percentages there that's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's kind of like, cool, you just got to earn more. You just need to bring more income in, so you've got more to push around. Because you're not contracting. It's an expansionist notion.
Which in my case, we have been all year. We're like still 25% up on our revenue.
Great.
And part of my plan for the new space is I'm going to sublease some of it. We just don't need the whole thing. But like, I keep coming to this thought of like, well, the way we're growing, the way we want to buy certain machines, I need additional space. And it's either spend $20,000 to move, at least, with like a month of downtime at least.
Yeah.
And have to figure that out and move and all that stuff, set everything up again, or have a little more cost for when we don't quite need all the space. So I just kept coming back to like, you know, the landlord's been so good.
Great.
I just finally bit the bullet. It was like, hey, we just got to do it. So I don't know. It's part of my discussions about whether we're going to sell the YCM or not. And I think the point of it is to put our metal machining stuff over there instead of trying to make it work in a wood shop too, where I've sectioned off a room for the metal machine, but then the YCM, and then we've kind of just hit the wall of like what we can do with that and what we'd like to be doing in terms of production. It's just a lot of babysitting. It's almost like it's very much a CNC, but in a lot of ways you got to manually feed it. You got to manually empty the bins. Or it overflows. And so, yeah, we'll be buying a different machine, I'm pretty sure. Just trying to figure out the timing on all of that too. I'm like selling the old one. So if you're in the market for a YCM 560A, hopefully I haven't scared you away. It's a very tight machine and it works very well. It's just, we've outgrown it.
Yeah. 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 It's a great opportunity. I think it served you well for what you've done with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
We might be both moving
shop.
What's the timing on yours?
I think we officially will start leasing it in October.
Okay, cool,
But it's next door, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to start putting stuff over there, but it's kind of weird to like walk around the shop. Ricky and I were going like, what would we put over there? I don't think we have much. And they were like, oh, wait, the bandsaw, all of those coolant things, all those chip bins. You know, it's like you suddenly are like, I've got like a third of it filled somehow.
So it's exactly the same footprint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just split in the center and mirrored. It used to be, originally it was one tenant. And then when they moved out 2015 or something like that, it got split into two.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's big news. Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we signed our building contract this week, so if it all goes through council successfully, we'll be selling this and moving home into a home-based workshop. Taking the robots and our team with us. Going from almost 500 square meters of... No, it is. It's more than 500. Yeah, almost 600 meters of slab to about 180. But it gets better because of the home-based business rules. We have to sort of squeeze like butter into about 100 square meters, which I think I mentioned to you recently when I started 3D modeling that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so tight. And I've been a bit scared of showing the guys here, just like showing them the 3D model. But I showed John and Ben the other day. We had a good chat about it and sort of John's immediate thought was like, maybe we don't need, or maybe we can't have two robots in that space. Like, so it looks pretty crazy. Squeezed in there.
Yeah. For the people that don't use the proper units, that's 6,500 square feet or 1,076 square feet.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's such a big difference. As I said, you need to go watch that movie where they tunnel underneath the workshop and then have a giant underground space.
I mean, it is pretty absurd how much space we have now. Now that we've sold a few machines and we've got more going, and like I was looking around the workshop yesterday, I was like, wow, there's so much volume here, like absolute excess of space. And so I'm confident we can do it. We can make it work.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit daunting because of how luxurious this space is for us at the moment. Pretty appealing. So basically we need council approval. So those permits will be going in sort of next week probably, now that we've signed the contract. And that will take, you know, a month or so. But as soon as we get council approval, we'll put this place on the market. And then hopefully we can get what we want for it. If we can get the sort of money we think this is, you know, because this place is appreciated. We built it pre-COVID, sort of building costs went through the roof. And so you can't really buy the land and build something like this for, you know, anywhere near what we did it for in 2018, 2019. So it's appreciated quite a bit. So the sort of, because of that, we think if we can get the price the agents think we can get for it, we can probably clear both the workshop mortgage and the home mortgage and build what we want to build at home in one shot, which would be just so nice to be not owing the banks ton of money. So that's pretty bloody attractive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. Just got to make this tiny workshop work. But great feeling yesterday. First billable hours off a robot.
What? Yeah. Sold, not what? Done.
No,
not accomplished.
What do you mean?
Like, don't explain.
Sorry, as in first working hours completed by not one of us, as in Abby Abby the robot was sanding dowels while we were playing table tennis at lunchtime. And that was a pretty bloody good feeling.
I won't tell them you said it wasn't one of us.
That's so cool. Yeah, I got my little sanding rig, as you saw on the YouTubes yesterday. Yeah.
Very
rough and ready, but it works. And we've already upgraded it. John built a new, what downdraft?
Fixture jig.
Yeah, like a downdraft fixture jig for it yesterday afternoon. Cool. So I've just got to reprogram it and reconfigure it on that new fixture, which is up a bit higher and better and looks less trashy. But yeah, works.
How does it compare to a human doing it quality-wise?
Quality, great, consistent, better finish, but we're letting it run way longer than what a human takes. So
that's kind of automation, you know?
That's the idea, right?
Right. I would have never thought of that or appreciated that. The more I listen and think about minimal automation things I've done, it's like Dylan talks about this all the time with his quick turn jobs where he's like, I'll just let a thing do an hour or 2 hours in the Hermla because then I'm doing something else.
That's going to be a sort of mental shift for us because, I mean, we've got the CNC machines, they're automation, obviously, a form of, but historically we've been quite protective of cycle time. It's like, yeah, let's get cycle time down. Let's get more throughput, blah, 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 which feels very different to this where it's like, no, let the robot sand it 20 times, do 20 passes with the sander. Why not? You're getting a great finish. So what if the stick takes 10 times as long as what a human operator would do? So
what does a stick take then? How long?
Time-wise. The stuff we were running yesterday was 10 minutes per stick, and we can optimize that. You know, when Ben was doing it on the lathe is spinning quite fast, and so you're getting extra sanding action just through the rotation of the lathe and with the orbital sander on it. And he was working through 3 grits. He was doing 80, 120, 180. So it was quite fast, you know, fast cut back and then middle and then finish. You got someone swapping pads quickly by hand and stuff like that. So whereas this, I'm just setting up with just 180. So I'm doing a lot more work with that single grit.
Right.
So, yeah, it's significantly slower, but as I said, the finish was beautiful. We're getting a nicer finish.
Yeah.
And it'll be consistent.
Well, it makes sense that it's more consistent.
Same every time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Do you even need the random orbital sander, or can it just be a static little cupped? Because it's already spinning.
Yeah, you could do that. I was thinking about that. Just hold a sanding block and just.
Well, I just print a slightly oversized radius.
Yeah.
Sanding block.
Potentially.
I'm sure it's great that it already random orbits, but your contact surface is so small.
True. It is very small. And you notice that, and that's partly why it takes so long. Because I've done some tests on the lathe where I've held a big bit of sanding paper off the wide belt sander, 150 wide, and wrapped it right around the dowel, and you can sand so fast. You could set something up like that too, but I suppose I've fixtured it in such a way that it's really easy for the robot to pick this dowel off. There's no secondary actuators to hold it or do anything weird
It picks it up?
Not yet. But that's the intention of this fixture is. Yeah.
Right.
It's gonna have little bull horns. It's gonna come in and just grab it and
then roll another one in, or how does the next one get in?
And then it'll have a little inclined rack, and it'll pick with its horns, it'll grab the next one off the inclined rack, beep, and drop it into the feed rollers, shunt it into the drive dog, and off it goes. So, yeah,
they grow up so fast.
Doable. They do, don't they? something, as Richard said in a text last night, Mr. Blackwell, there's something so endearing about a giant orange robot doing its thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's cute. Sounds like fun. I mean, I guess we're also kind of burying the Gem has now published 2 horizontal YouTube video
horizontal
pieces of content, some horizontals, and I like. I'm sure it's taken immense, I think, a restraint is the right word for you to just publish them as raw as they are for how you normally edit things. But I think it's good. I think it's like much more like vlog.
Yeah, it's
transparent.
Vloggy.
I'm going through the process and you're getting them made. I'm sure it's a lot easier once you get into that mental space of like, here, I could just put this on the internet now.
Yeah, so much easier. No editing. I think that's my vibe. I'll just do it all live.
It's good.
And, you know, I rewatched the one I'd put up yesterday, all 3.5 minutes, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, yeah, you can barely hear what I'm saying at the end there because I'm talking over the orbital sound. I should probably, you know, actually mic myself up when I do them with my little Rode mics and stuff. But, yeah, just doing it in the moment and straight upload, no edit. I think is all that's going to work for me at this stage, so I will do that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's YouTube, baby. Like,
I.
It's and well, you're also basically creating all this other content to make to be able to be used as feed or stock for like a more edited video to like show the process someday, right? Like,
true,
you have
true.
The vlogs can turn into the like sexy, highly edited thing if you wanted to someday.
If I wanted to, yeah, sure. If I manage my footage well.
Yeah, that's really hard. I don't know how people do that.
Like, I don't know
the pro either. Editors where they like pull in all the historical shots. I'm like, I don't know where that went. It's on a drive, I know, but they're all labeled like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my biggest update probably is out of nowhere, I got a text from Dylan at 7:26 a.m. It says, like, feeding my son breakfast.
With intolerance, like, Dylan?
With intolerance, Dylan. He's like, PETG is back, did you see? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And I go on, I had it bookmarked. I checked daily, multiple times daily. And I had signed up for emails and all of the PETG high flow is back in stock suddenly, just out of nowhere. Oh. And they did do a minimal sale. And so I had like 40 plus rolls in my cart at first. And I was like, all right. It's probably not going to be out of stock forever again. So get this like
back,
what we need
comes
for,
back
a bit.
For a day.
Yeah. Well, I've checked again thinking like, is it going to go? I think I was the only one waiting. I was the only one waiting for this film, I swear. Cause like there was never posts about it. No updates. Oh, it does say sold out again.
Uh-oh.
Red is sold out. So
cause you
some of it's
it all.
Been sold out. Yeah. So I got 3 different shipments already on the way. But Dylan, I was like, thank you. You alerted me before I even saw it in my own email. My only concern now is that, well, 2 things, that it stays in stock and that it's the same. Did they make some change?
Indeed,
even though
yeah.
they said that it's the same, like my suspicion is they're changing suppliers or something,
yeah,
you know?
The ingredients could be subtly different, right?
Right. Because everything, like what I found in that time period, of testing other filaments for all of the products basically that we make out of it is everything's slightly different between color, composition, like even this, like we try to use this voxel PLA, which literally claims you can use PETG, their version of PETG high flow with the same settings. And you could not, it was nowhere close.
Yeah,
it was like a third slower, higher temperature. And even then we were having like, Ricky kept coming to me, dude, there's more problems with the plates we've been printing. So who knows? But at least it's here. to some degree, we have a bunch arriving Friday.
Well, fingers crossed.
It'd be nice.
Hopefully that goes smoothly. Yeah. I've been picking up some conversations with some international makers again about licensing Gigabytes, and now that the PS2 is getting closer to completion. And the thing about like plywood suppliers come up of like, cool, what do you have? And Dow, like, what do you have access to over there? Like, what can you get? Because, like, you know, there's probably not any plywood being manufactured in the UK. So, locally grown, locally manufactured plywood's probably off the cards. What's your closest? What are the options? So, and, you know, what's the right thickness? Because it's all obviously annoyingly fairly critical that it's the right thickness and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's been interesting sort of starting to pick up that material conversation and the nuance of it. Yeah, you
can approve samples of it?
probably not physically, no, but certainly via digital forms, video, photos, I think we'd need to, but yeah.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Interesting.
So yeah, if you are listening and you are a maker and you are not in Australia, do check in, send me a message. And you may have sent me a message in the past, and we can pick up that conversation again because we're getting closer to wanting to get Kidda further out into the world. Somewhat. No, this was coincidental timing, actually, completely. Someone sent me a reel on Instagram this week saying, oh, wow, it's so good to see Kidda Parts getting out into the world, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at the video. I was like, oh, it is Kidda Parts. Oh, it's in Tehran, in Iran. Interesting. I don't remember ever exporting any. But, you know, I benefit of the doubt. I was like, cool, this person might have bought some here and taken it with them. And I looked in more detail and then I freeze-framed the video and I was like, hang on. I counted the number of nodes on the, like, on the Kidda Parts cap. And I was like, uh-oh.
Wow.
Seven nodes. That's three less than standard. Someone has just done a carbon copy rip of this. And it looks like it looks legit. Like, it really looks like Kidda. And I can't tell, obviously, whether it's actually, you know, threaded timber dowels or whether it's just metal thread certs and they've made to look identical. But yeah, I guess it was only a matter of time.
Interesting. Yeah. You contact them at all, or what is your thought? Much about it.
There's nothing I can do. Yep. I just left a message on the post of like, nice shelves, where'd you get them? That was before
is that even hoop pine?
Before I'd even sort of worked out that the nodes were wrong on the cap and sort of confirmed that it wasn't actually Kidda. But yeah, there's nothing I could do. You know, I've got friends who've had like 100% carbon copies made, discovered of their work in that part of the world. And I think there's just, you know, there's obviously no international IP there.
Yeah.
I was chatting to this friend about it, actually, who's had been in the same situation, and he sort of actively tried to sort of pursue it a bit and obviously didn't go anywhere. He's ended up just, don't know how I feel about this, but it's kind of smart. He's just used his, like, whatever it is, CDN settings to actively block all countries that are not his clientele.
Interesting. Which
I'm sure you can get around that with VPNs or whatever, but interesting thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just literally go to the idea of some AI will have already crawled it locally, and then that can just be translated. That's going to be even more common. There's supposedly, all the corners of the world, you're never going to get protection.
No.
But my patent people have tried to get me to extend our patents to worldwide standings, and it's I think it is largely a joke, unfortunately. I'm no expert on it, but I think the money you could throw at that, how are you going to protect it?
It's gotta
be like a multinational corporation to get into that and have all the lawyers lined up ready.
All the money lined up. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's unrealistic for you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. It's either the money or it's like you beat them in other ways.
Well, yeah, exactly. You beat them in other ways. And I think it's inevitable. It was inevitable for something like this to happen. And it will absolutely happen again in other ways in other countries. So, back to my old mentality of you just got to keep pushing on, keep making it better and be the best at it. And, maybe one day a competitor will completely wipe me out with my own product. But for now, this is not a direct threat. It's just a bit of a kick up the bum of keep moving
It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, it's not great. But that kind of got me, I was in a bit of a doom hole already because sales were crap when I found that video, and then I was thinking about, what I'm doing with the robots and sort of very actively sharing what I'm doing with them and how I've always sort of overshared on Instagram in terms of technique and process and stuff. And the guy I bought the robots from, I was chatting to him the other day. He was sharing some pictures of old fixtures and stuff in his shop, awesome shop in its heyday, really cool. And he's of the sort of opinion and ilk of not sharing this stuff at all. He's like, these are the ideas, these little details, that broom I made for my shop that could magically clean up the workshop floor in 2 seconds. These are the ideas that protect your business from, or make you competitive, and protect you. And these are the ideas that you shouldn't ever share with people. And I was like, I respect that. I get that. But I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum of I feel it's important to share this stuff to sort of uplift our manufacturing maker community as a whole. So I don't know. I'm torn.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, in two ways, though, it's you're probably, we have stuff like this where it's I'll share a lot of things, but there's some details of some products where I'm not interested in sharing the levels of which we've gone to make them really good, because they are replicable or it creates some form of moat for the amount of time you've put into it to figure it out.
Yeah.
But in the end, is it going to do much of anything? Probably not. Because often what happens in that case, in my experience, similar to your Kitaparts knockoff, it's they're going to make it simpler or easier to make for themselves. And maybe that matters. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes it less of a quality product, but they can undercut you in price or such that hopefully you've picked the solutions and simplified it enough yourself where you're getting enough profit, where your price makes sense and your quality supersedes them or whatever your market strategy is that, we got knocked off with our laptop stand within months from the Kickstarter being out in other countries such that the patent made no sense that we were getting. And, it was simplified in a way that a person who actually had to make molds of injection parts, which I did not, could make basically a better product than ours because they knew what they were doing and they're fast to get to market. And I was a stupid 19-year-old that didn't know what I was doing. So it was a good lesson, I suppose. And it was kind of inconsequential.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Can you hear the people above me now? Is it loud?
No, I cannot. No. Why did it? Are they raucous?
There was the whole crew was gone somewhere else, and now they're back. So I probably don't have a ton of time left.
Cool. No dramas. In general. Well, I'll pop a link in the show notes for the Kidaparts International Makers Alliance. Thanks for popping the link in the show notes, Justin.
Gems Robot YouTube is linked there too.
Oh, thanks.
I think we both have Profit First updates.
We do. Show me yours.
And now it's profit time.
Whoa, he's got his buttons. Sick.
I pushed the right one. I'm 88% more than last year at this time for myself, which has more than doubled my hourly pay. Which
less than zero. Well done.
Almost never zero, but I'm about to hit minimum wage.
Awesome! Congratulations. That's pretty major as a small business operator.
Yeah,
minimum wage is quite an achievement. Excellent.
Volunteering for this.
Yeah. Well done.
What has been interesting is since I started Profit First, 20% of my pay has been from quarterly bonuses, which is pretty significant.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's pretty cool.
You could say, like, oh, just pay yourself more, I suppose. But there's something really satisfying about that. Like, I feel like a corporate, like, I don't know, a corporate dude where I, like, get to say to Aaron, like, hey, it's quarterly bonus time. You know, like,
yeah,
can I get a little corporate bonus? That's been nice. Cool. Little bonus that comes out of nowhere.
That's great. Seemingly. Yes. I still haven't done that.
Hides itself away.
Yeah, very cool. Congrats, man. It's all sounding great. Our PF update is tracking pretty well. Like, I did an update for the guys the other day of just sort of, hey, I know I don't talk about finances every week because it's gets pretty mundane, but we are tracking pretty well, particularly the last 3 months. On average, we are right on 100% of revenue target. And then over the calendar year, so since sort of January, we're at 91% of revenue target. So I'm pretty happy with that. So
that's like day of the year versus where it's supposed to be? Year to date?
Yes. Yeah, year to date.
Financial year to date?
No, our financial year is different, but yes, this calendar year, we're sitting at 91% of where should be in terms of cash in the door. But the last 3 months we're at 100%. So yeah, we run a pretty good run.
Nice.
All in all. And it's interesting, like Johnny commented to Laura recently, just like in passing, of like sort of expressed some concern about like how it all finance always seems tight and like there's never quite enough money. And Laura sort of, like, that was a really good question because it sort of highlighted why that's the case. And it's like, yes, it is always tight, but it's because all the money's being split into the right buckets all the time. And so there's, yes, you know, sometimes there's not enough money in the OPEX account to buy that hand tool that we think we need. But it means there's enough money sitting in the tax account and the insurance account. And it's like, it just, there is a sense of tightness all the time. But it's as a result of having bucketed the cash out to the correct location. So, it was an interesting sort of thing sort of to make that distinction of like, it's because the money's in the right place.
And inherently you have kind of like backups by borrowing from other accounts if you have to.
Yeah,
to do that
if you have to.
A month or so ago. Because of like the way something was being paid out, I had a payment that I had to make for like, I think it's like a credit card was coming through and it was like $2,000 more than I had in my OPEX account. I was like, all right, I guess I gotta which felt terrible. But what's more terrible is if the money doesn't come back, you don't have enough to put it back, and you just keep borrowing. That's when it's like, bad feeling.
Yeah, we've tried to track those borrowings, but they're a little bit, they're hard to sort of stay on top of. We're trying to sort of track them so that we can sort of rebalance things at, you know, end of the quarter or end of the year a bit. But yeah,
that might be the biggest sin, honestly, of Profit First, is to borrow and then not track it. You know, like, and I don't have a good system for it either right now. But it's like, you've completely ruined the point.
I know.
If you just get, like, just put it all back in one account.
It's constant. I'm constantly like shifting, you know, a few $100 or $1,000 here from OPEX back to materials and vice versa. Like every week.
It's better than not having that, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So yeah, we're chipping away at our debt. We haven't done the quarterly distribution thing because all profit has just been put back towards debts previously incurred before we downsized, and yeah, it's working.
Right, which is
I recommend it to everybody.
Still, join our cult.
Join the cult. Cool.
See, do you have any last
final financial last remark? Is I built a custom view in Airtable a few days ago and did a tally, and we'd put $99,200 through the Kitter Parts configurator that I vibe coded my way through. So that felt like a milestone.
That's crazy.
So that's since January or February, I think, this year when I got it online. February. Yeah. Feels great. Oh, thank you. Too kind.
so cheesy. It's not the cheering I want.
Can't believe you've got your buttons in your basement there.
It's on the side of Riverside here.
Oh, is that where you're doing it?
Nah, I didn't bring anything too fancy. Just my laptop. Now, cool. They don't give you them. I don't know. I have all these other things. So we've never been able to co-host.
No, it's hilarious.
It's silly.
We'll get back to your vacay, man. What's your last thing?
Yeah. Last thought. It was a cool thing. You know, I'm going to try to say this right. Simone Yetch looks like Geertz. As she said in the interview, the Shitty Robots woman was her first like big breakout. She would make those robots that would like cut your hair or like feed you cereal. She's had a pretty storied YouTube career. I watched a lot of her videos, and Mike Hurley, who I also listened to some of his podcasts in the UK, interviewed her kind of on like making, and like I'll put a link to it. It's a really good interview. And she's gone from her YouTube career to like trying to make a product studio. And a lot of Mike's other content that I listen to is about like kind of productivity and apps and Apple stuff. And so she was saying, you want to know one of my like productivity hacks? And I feel like I've heard everything in this world about productivity more, like apps. And I was like, I don't know if I want this. But if it's like, I told Erin about it. It was a really good one. She said, a trick that I give myself is I'll make a list of all the items I need to do. And then I will, like in an app or on paper, I will roll a dice, and whatever number that is, I have to do that task. And I was like, this may be good for our kids someday, but honestly, it's pretty brilliant too, because she's like, you know, if the list is there, I just pick the easy ones that I want to do, and then the other ones just sit there forever.
Yeah, true.
And she's like, this takes away all the power of that problem. I thought it was pretty good. She also uses the Brick.
Ah, does she? Yeah, I've been enjoying Brick life, I must say. Can recommend. Brick on my phone every day when I go home.
Might have to try it.
Yeah. It's expensive for what it is, but who cares if it gets you off your phone? Bloody win. Mm-hmm. And I can sense it's breaking my... starting to break my muscle memory a bit.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Nice.
It's good.
Very cool.
Yep.
Good news.
And it lives here at work, and I can only unbrick when I get to work. Hey.
That's pretty extreme. Pretty extreme. Do you have a referral link? We can drop it in.
No.
So you can get more bricks.
Don't need more bricks. Cool, man. Thanks for tuning in from wherever you are.
Kansas.
Penitentiary of Kansas. And
the penitentiary. There are some penitentiaries here.
What's your t-shirt? Is it bluey? Bluey? Dad. It is bluey!
Yes. I put it on today. I was like, this is good vacation wear. I put it on and I walked into the hallway and my son goes, Dad Bluey? Dad Bluey? Bluey Dad? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's
as
me.
As he's like carrying around his little stuffy Bluey.
All right. See you, Bandit. Next time.
See ya. Goodbye. Bye.